Mondays and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. NPR CEO Catherine Maher is speaking out after the Senate passed a bill early today to cut $9 billion in funding for foreign aid and public broadcasting.
The primary impact of this potential rescission is going to hurt communities where they need support most, which are rural stations.
The measure now goes back to the House. CBS News confirms the Justice Department has fired federal prosecutor Maureen Comey. Correspondent Scott McFarlane.
She is the daughter of former FBI Director James Comey, and she handled, in part, the Sean Diddy Combs case and the Jeffrey Epstein case.
A lightning strikes killed an instructor at an archery range in New Jersey. 13 were injured, including a 7-year-old fellow instructor, Gene Grodsky.
The parents all ran to their kids. The members that were standing ran over to try to support the people that were down. I ran to go to get the defibrillator out of the clubhouse, and oddly enough, we just got it like a 2 months ago.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A coalition of e-cigarette distributors have filed a federal lawsuit against the state of Wisconsin over a law passed in 2023. Lisa Hale reports.
The law officially went into effect on July 1st, and it imposes fines on organizations that make and sell products that are not authorized by the Food and Drug Administration. The lawsuit argues that the law violates the Supremacy Clause of the Constitution, which gives the federal government the authority to regulate drug safety. The coalition is seeking a preliminary injunction to prevent the law from taking effect as the case moves forward.
The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is looking for people to become community scientists. The DNR announced on Wednesday that state residents can participate in the Game Bird Survey now through the end of August. As a community scientist, you'll help measure the reproductive status of game birds in the state. There's no registration required to participate. You can record your observations using a mobile device, but don't do so while driving. The deadline to submit sightings on the Survey 123 app is August 31st. And in more DNR news, the 2024 fish stocking numbers for inland water bodies and the Great Lakes were released on Wednesday. Over 5 million fish were stocked last year. This helps boost natural fish populations, maintain or restore existing fisheries, and support recreational fishing opportunities. Some of the species stocked in inland waters include brook and brown trout, lake sturgeon and lake trout, muskellunge or muskie, rainbow trout, and walleye. In Lake Michigan, they stocked chinook and coho salmon along with trout species muskie and sturgeon. And in Lake Superior, they stocked brown trout, lake trout, and splake. You can see all the numbers on the DNR's fish stocking database. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
An update on the Brewers' Sal Frelick. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. The Brewers head to L.A. to play the Dodgers tomorrow night, but their starting right fielder and leadoff batter, Sal Frelick, may not be able to play. An MRI showed Frelick suffered a minor hamstring injury Sunday against the Nationals, but for now, he's day-to-day. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Hurt my heart, you know, like he's such a key cog in this whole thing. That just ruined my day.
NBA, the Bucks have re-signed backup center Chris Livingston to a one-year deal worth $2 million. That comes after losing Brook Lopez to the Clippers following 7 seasons in Milwaukee.
You know, free agency came. Everything happened pretty fast, but looking at my options, I was just thrilled the Clippers reached out. They've been a great team quite a while now, you know, and there's just, you know, a great chance to win a championship here.
The Bucks lost to the Bulls last night 102-98 to close out their summer league schedule. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Cooler and less humid today after a wet and stormy Wednesday. A mix of sun and clouds with highs in the low to mid 70s. Mostly cleared tonight with a low near 53. On Friday, a great finish to the work week. Plenty of sunshine with highs in the mid 70s. Currently, it's 55 degrees.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
"I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong."
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I like a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, we're joined by Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call to discuss the recent lawsuit he filed with other attorneys general to help preserve and protect federal education funding. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. Welcome back. Nice to have you here up north on this Thursday morning, July 17th, 2025. It's a busy weekend. I mean, last hour we talked about, you know, Country Jam here in Eau Claire, Bastille Days in the Milwaukee area, the Hayward Lumberjack Festival. I listed all the various county fairs that are going on as well. And we're still not done. Robin Tigerton reminds us that Pulaski Polka Days is starting. Roger on Facebook tells us the Portage County Fair begins today. Alicia says it's Paper Fest this weekend in Kimberly. So there's just a lot to do here. Rob goes on to say good morning from Tigerton. It's cloudy and 54, got 0.9 inches of rain. Severe weather was mostly south of me. Watoma had more than 3.5 inches. Highway 21 was flooded on the east side. He says, I have an eye appointment today in Wittenberg, probably a candidate to wear glasses, and then 3 yards to mow in the Tigerton area this afternoon. He says, I think the meteorologists like Brittany and all in the media did an excellent job with severe weather coverage. It brings back memories of tracking storms on my road maps when I was a kid. Let's see. And he goes on to talk about Nicolette Larson being an awesome singer, also with the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. And he says, have a fun time, Brittany, at EAA. I hope and pray you have nice weather there. And that takes me over to, oh, wait a minute. We've got Alicia saying, my oldest and I are going to the EAA schedule last night, planning our days. Air Venture is almost here. And on the text line, Jim in Brookfield, have a great time at EAA next week, Brittany. I hope the weather cooperates. I remember flying there from the Waukesha Airport in a 4-seater Piper with all the spotters on the ground communicating with us along our flight path. We never had to say a word on the radio until we landed. This is contagious stuff, the way that people feel about Air Venture, and count Brittany among them.
I am definitely one of those. I had no idea what it was the first year that I went, and all it took was one day, and I was hooked, honestly. I'll suggest, on if you want to go on a day and you're wondering which one, because there's just so many, Wednesday and Saturday, they have a night air show, and it is one of the biggest that I have ever seen. And they've got the drones doing their things. They have a special ending with some explosions. It's amazing.
The good kind.
Yes, the good kind, the planned kind.
Yes.
So it is just a super fun time. Lots of people, good people. You'll learn so much. The technology that goes on with these airplanes is outrageous, and it goes beyond that too. So I'm so excited. Camping is going to be so much fun. Just the fact that I have no power, though, is going to be very, very interesting. This is dry camping.
You truly rough it. You really rough it for this.
Every single one of us, there's only a few power sites. So we're out there for the good.
So Brittany will be off tomorrow getting ready for that. Hopefully we'll be able to hear from you at a couple of points along the way next week as you enjoy it all. And before we get into today's weather, just letting folks know that Corrine Hendrickson is standing by. We'll talk to her in just a couple of moments. State Senator Jeff Smith at the bottom of the hour. But as mentioned by Rob and Tigerton, y'all were busy yesterday tracking something like, what, 10 or 12 different possible tornadic systems out there. What's the report by the time we get to this morning, looking back at yesterday?
Yeah, yesterday was wild. It started earlier than we had thought. Right around noon in Dodgeville, we saw a funnel cloud and a tornado touchdown that continued into Sauk City, Fall River, Beaver Dam, Fox Lake area, into Fond du Lac, even funnel clouds being reported. That was around 3:30 in the afternoon, also into Hustisford, Lemon Wire, many, many places dealing with a possible tornado that touched down there. Lots of video, lots of pictures out there of proof. Also, winds clocked 50 to 60 miles per hour, knocking down trees scattered throughout the southern half of the state, and then flooding towards the Fox Valley. Onalaska got 1.63 inches in 1 hour. Just 1 hour. So from La Crosse to the Fox Valley, a good 2.5 to 3.5 inches were reported there. Madison area, about 1 inch to 1.5 inches. But Wautoma, cars were reported stalled with water over the hoods. Highway 21 was impassable between Coloma and Wautoma. And also Nina, creeks were overflowing, water going into backyards and basements. Same thing into Oshkosh. The EAA grounds are flooded, but they have really good draining systems. But Fond du Lac, Stockbridge, Manitowoc, all flooding situations there. We're drying things out today. Thank goodness. We need it. Fog still in places like Hayward and Ashland. It's about 41 degrees up north, 64 degrees into Racine. It feels like fall. That's going to be the case today. Very crisp, upper 60s to low 70s. Lots of sunshine. And we are looking at tall waves on Lake Michigan. So beach hazard statement out there. Be careful of rip currents. Otherwise, tomorrow, another little system wants to start bringing rain possible far, far north tomorrow afternoon. And then that line could build and swing south through the state as we go through the late afternoon. Otherwise, a little bit of rain chance does linger, maybe mostly south on Saturday. Sunday, we are looking at a little bit of rain possible south, but northern parts of the state, we're dry all weekend and we're a little bit warmer, upper 70s to low 80s.
All right. Well, Brittany, have a great early start to the weekend. Wonderful time setting up at EAA. And
thank you.
Hopefully we'll get a chance to check in with you a couple of times here.
I can't wait. Talk to you guys then.
All right. Sounds good. Let's visit now with Corrine Hendrickson. We've talked to her several times before about the crisis of affordable child care in Wisconsin. Governor Tony Evers tried to, well, he first did use a lot of federal pandemic relief funding to help keep the child care industry from collapsing. He also proposed something in the state budget, but the resulting deal between Evers and Republicans in the legislature fell short in some areas. For example, child care. And in our next half hour, we'll talk to State Senator Jeff Smith about where the budget fell short in terms of homeless care for veterans. But let's stick to child care now and bring Corrine in right now, because Corrine says she finds herself at a professional crossroads, essentially, as a result of what is and what is not in the final state budget. Corrine Hendrickson, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm all right. I'm enjoying the cooler weather.
Yes, it's definitely a big relief compared to, you know, feeling like the mid-90s or triple digits or anything like that, especially if you're watching a bunch of kiddos all day.
Yeah, we're outside. We're at the park for swimming lessons, and it's been hot. So today, now, those poor kids are going to freeze when they're in their
Yes. lessons. Well, look, it is... mostly thankless work. Thankfully, there are enough other parents and folks in the public who are becoming increasingly aware of, you know, the value of this industry and how it is in real crisis right now. But you talked to us, you know, last week about the state budget bill and, you know, how it only provides 1 year of partial relief compared to the governor's original proposal. So now you've had a chance to evaluate things further. And so you were nice enough to come back after having thoroughly reviewed things to tell us what you think it all means for, you know, child care on the whole in Wisconsin and what it means for you personally.
Yeah. So thanks for having me on. What it means for all of us in child care and the families that we care for and educate and their employers who have those parents employed, is it still going to be a disaster? Cindy, who's up in Green Bay, is one of our WeCan members, and they're calling this program a bridge. First off, it's a bridge to where? To nowhere. But she actually said it's a plank in a pond payment, because it's not a bridge. It's just one lonely board floating in uncertainty. And that really hit, because it's not what Governor Evers is saying. He keeps saying in these press releases that, you know, this is going to make childcare more affordable. It's not. We are raising our rates. I sat down and did my math. And in order for me not to take a $15,000 pay cut due to ages and the loss of 20% a month, I had to raise my rate $60 a week, which would be $350 for children under two and $320 for two and up. And in New Glarus, it's not tenable. I've lost three children so far due to rates. Two of them were on subsidy. And so last year I struggled to fill my three spots, and it was September. I was starting to think I might have to close, and I couldn't do it again. So I talked to my parents this last week, let them know that I'm not going to be able to, I will not be able to morally try to open, stay open and try to fill three spots with parents that I'm like, yeah, if I'm still open, you can have a spot. How do I do that to them? How do I do that to their employers? They think they have a spot, but they're not sure. They're going to keep looking, as they should. And so I made the difficult decision that August 29th is my last day. I was able to get the kids that I have here into another group center, because at that time, that's when they have turnover and that's when they have openings. So my four kids are probably going to stay together and they're going to be able to stay, go there. But I am now trying to figure out what I'm going to do. One of my kids on Monday, she looked at me, she goes, Corrine, why don't you get to be a teacher anymore? And that just about broke my heart, because that's what I do. And then another parent asked me, they're like, oh, we're all going to the same place. And then they're like, what are you going to do? And I said, you know what? I haven't figured that out yet. So that's the way that all of us in this field work. We think about the children and families, and then we think about ourselves. And so now I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do next.
I my heart is breaking for you and for these kids and for these families. And it's not just you. You're not the only provider who's looking at this.
It's all of us.
And making a rather difficult decision. And look, even if there's follow-up legislation, because we talked about how the funding is really only there for 1 year. But as you've mentioned before, that's a lack of security that you can no longer live with. And who knows how many more are only going to be in business for one more year.
Right. And that's the other thing is all the providers I'm talking to across the state, they're looking at raising their rates $10, $15 a week, maybe more now, to try and keep the teachers they have or the family child care providers. They're looking for second jobs so they can stay open. That is not okay. We work 50 hours with kids already, and then we're supposed to go and work somewhere else so the parents can afford us. This is not okay. And our state should not be making these decisions. If they actually cared about kids, they wouldn't do that. And so, yes, we are still fighting, and I'm not leaving the advocacy world. I actually will have more time, so that could get fun. but we're working on, there's standalone legislation, SB 222 and AB 317. It's the standalone for $480 million to make us whole again. Had we gotten that whole $480 million, I wouldn't have had to raise my rates at all, because it would have covered all of that. And so we're still fighting for that. We're still saying it. And now what we want is our providers, our parents, and our employers to call Governor Evers and call their Dem and Republican representatives and tell them every time, my rates just went up $20. I just lost an employee because their rates went up. Because that's what it's going to take, is until they see it and feel it, they don't understand. And they don't have the empathy and they don't have the imagination. And that's not okay either. So that's where I'm at.
You've been asked, to consider, I mean, you're already way out there visible on this issue, but to consider, you know, ramping things up further. I've seen this happen with people all the time. You're an advocate for something and people say you should keep being an advocate, maybe on, you know, even an elected level. Is that one of the options?
Actually, I am one of the now I think we're down to four potential Senate candidates in SD 17, which is Mark Lyons' district. I am thinking about it. I am pursuing a potential run, and I participated in a forum last week and will be participating in more forums throughout the this area of the state that the counties are putting on. And I'm excited that real people are interested in running, because we do need real people who actually have conversations, meaningful conversations and relationships with actual people, instead of staying in their bubble and listening to what all the experts are saying that what is what we need and what we want. And that's how you end up with what we got. There was no transparency. None of us were at the table to say these policies are terrible. They're awful and do not harm the children. Do not do this to the children. Don't put us in these situations. And for what? A plank in a pond? It's not, you can't run a business that way. And on top of everything that's happening at the federal level, this is only going to just, you know, continue to make us descend into, you know, despair almost. And part of what I like is the hope of working towards something else.
And that's, I don't doubt you'll do that in some way, shape, or form. And please keep in touch on what those plans would be. Corrine Hendrickson, child care provider, soon to be former child care provider in New Glarus. Corrine, thank you. Hope you have a good day.
Thanks.
We appreciate your time so very much. A local update is coming up next for some of you. And then coming up at the bottom of the hour, State Senator Jeff Smith about something else missing from the state budget bill. That's all coming up live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-550-8841. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS.
Generous programs are now available that can give you a fresh start.
Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems.
We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau.
You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-550-8841. That's 800-550-8841. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapid Support, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic. For this July 15th, 2025, I have your host, James, here, and I'm joined by some of my favorite people. We have the Historic Point boss with us right now. I'm going to let you guys introduce yourselves so the audience can put a voice to the name. And, of course, you know this voice and this man right here joining us right now, Mr. Yeah. Hittner.
Yes, good day. Mike Hittner from Historic Point Boss, and hello to everybody in Radioland.
Appreciate you being here, Mike. Always good to talk with you. And joining us today, Bill Parker. Bill, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Yeah, I am with one of the Civil War reenacting units that will be at Point Bass, and I'm also with the Southwood County Historical Museum as a military historian.
Really know your stuff. We got some people here that can really bring some education to us, to people like me, I should say, especially. We're going to get into the event itself now and kind of touch on what's going on. Civil War Days is happening over at the Historic Point Boss at 364 Wakeley Road, going on July 26th and 27th from 10 to 4 on Saturday and 10 to 3 on Sunday. We'll get into admission and details as we go along. But Bill, when it comes to these things, we've heard about Civil War reenactments and that in pop culture and TV movies and a bunch, but I don't know how many people have actually been a part of them or really know what to expect when taking one in. Can we talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, Civil War reenactments are kind of a formal affair where you'll learn how artillery soldiers and all Civil War soldiers lived, fought, marched, how they handled their weapons, how they drilled, how they fought their battles down to a tactical level. The battles are pretty formal in themselves, where the battles are planned out by officers in advance and told. They tell the units where they're supposed to go and do what they're supposed to do.
And what we're seeing in these reenactments is a live kind of retelling of the events that some of the events that happened, right?
This would also be for James and Bill is a skirmish, because there was no battles fought in this area, certainly.
Right.
And we're doing this for several reasons. As we wanted to do this, Bill has wanted to do this probably 20 years back, but two of the Wakely sons were in the Civil War for the Union, and one son-in-law. So we just received from a family out of New Mexico the son-in-law to the Wakely family about, I don't know, what do you think, Bill, 25, 30 letters that were written back and forth between his wife and himself. And so those are heirloom letters, basically.
At least 25 to 30, if not more.
Yeah, and when Bill was saying that they organized these skirmishes and everything, basically for our audience and for you, James, it's kind of choreographed.
Yeah.
You know, because they kind of work in advance and they know what they're going to do, when they're going to do it, and that sort of thing. And mm-hmm. so, and we'll have both Union soldiers here and Confederate soldiers also. So we'll have both sides represented here. And I don't know if Bill knows what he's going to be yet, but they sometimes tell him on the day of or so. they told him to bring both uniforms. So.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Oh, I like it. Bill, I should let you know I'm an actor by trait, so I'm loving all of this for a lot of reasons as a historian nerd and as an actor. Mm-hmm. I'm really enjoying the behind-the-curtain look of some of this, and I know the audience will be too. From looking at the outline of the day ahead for this event, the skirmish will begin about 1:30 for each of the days?
Yeah. I actually have the event schedule right in front of me, and 1:30 both days will be the battle. The battles tend to last about a half hour to 45 minutes, and it's also the busiest part of the day.
After that, it looks like there's artillery demonstrations, infantry drills, cavalry demonstration, medical scenarios, and a period dance on Saturday night.
Yeah. Artillery drills are more about showing the public what it takes to make each gun fire, because that gun don't fire without the rest of the team. It takes quite a few people to handle the piece.
Mm-hmm. Again, you know, going to pop culture, movies, a lot of this stuff, where we take a lot of the information from these things. If you're not fortunate enough to know somebody who was, an ancestor that was a part of the war and maybe handed down stories or something along those lines, the perspective that I think this event gives to people and the opportunity for that, we are so used to modern firearms. We are so used to and accustomed to so many of these things. I think even that, even if you think you know it, seeing it in action is a completely different thing than just, you know, reading it in a book or something along those lines. That part of this feels like a really important part.
Oh, yes. Specifically with the handling of these older period weapons, you know, you watch a movie on firing a musket, and they can fire in the movies multiple rounds a minute, and that strictly is not a case. I mean, a good infantry man during the Civil War could fire at maximum 3 rounds in 1 minute, but in the movies, it makes it look like they're firing way more than they could.
Yeah. It's always interesting in movies when you see nobody reload. Nobody ever has to reload in movies. It just seems real nice that you see it. But.
Well, I think in the modern day movies, I think they want action, and so they can't wait for that action.
Yeah. Go ahead.
In fact, when I was in the infantry, I did an event where we actually timed out how long each took each soldier to fire 3 rounds. The best I could clock in for 3 rounds was 1:15.
Wow.
So I'm a little bit slower than a actual Civil War soldier.
Well, maybe, Bill, you haven't got anybody shooting at you.
Yeah. Might speed you up a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted to also mention this is going to be featuring troops from the 2nd Wisconsin, the Iron Brigade, 6th Wisconsin Light Artillery, 41st Virginia, McAllister's Battery.
We're listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For everything from carrying milk to a processing facility to bringing feed to the farm, commercial driver's licenses and those people that hold them high value to today's farming operation. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Thursday. That's why for the first time, Southwest Wisconsin Technical College, they are going to start offering commercial driver's license training. Holly Straka is the Director of Business and Industry Services at Southwest Technical College, and she explains why they decided to undertake this new curriculum.
CDL drivers, they're in high demand across our region, right? Ag is one of them, and our electrical power distribution is another one. And those students were having to go, you know, quite far out into, you know, Iowa and a few hours away from Wisconsin to get those. Sometimes that those extra travel costs and that time can be a barrier. And so we had heard from A, our students, and B, a lot of local businesses that, you know, with the changes in the CDL laws, it has been consistently tougher and tougher to obtain the CDL. So we thought if we could figure out a way to bring something local, that we could help a huge market. And it was pretty successful for the first go around.
Holly Straka, she's the Director of Business and Industry Services at Southwest Wisconsin Technical College, talking about their new commercial driver's license training. She said prior to them offering this curriculum, students would have had to travel elsewhere in the state or Midwest to try to gain the skills they'll be providing.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVet's Bovine Goldlight to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Goldlight keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Goldlight at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
Hey, gut yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2025 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
And if you'd like to learn more about bison production in Wisconsin, excellent opportunity on the horizon. Saturday, August 2nd, the Wisconsin Bison Producers Association holding their summer conference. It's going to be at Black Creek Bison in Spooner, Wisconsin. They'll start at 9 in the morning, go until 3 in the afternoon. They'll also have a drone demonstration for agronomic applications. The date again, August 2nd. That's a look at food news on a Thursday. I'm PM Yonke.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Cooler and less humid today after a wet and stormy Wednesday. A mix of sun and clouds with highs in the low to mid 70s. Mostly cleared tonight with a low near 53. On Friday, a great finish to the work week. Plenty of sunshine with highs in the mid 70s. Currently, it's 55 degrees.
Sometimes as dads, I think we're too hard on ourselves. We get down on ourselves on not being able to, you know, we're the providers, but we also have to learn to take care of ourselves. Arapaho way, you got to pray for yourself as well as for everybody else, but never forget yourself. Self-love made me a better dad because I realized my worth.
Never stop being a dad. That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure? like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Jay Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, our road trip continues. Matt Nair on air and Todd Alba broadcasting live from the Fanatical Fish Gallery in Butternut. Absolutely join us.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Don't forget you can sign up for our newsletters, plural. Yes, we've got weekday newsletters. We've got a Sunday morning newsletter I put together all about Wisconsin politics. Sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com to learn more. Hit subscribe up in the top banner. We'd love to have you as a subscriber there and as a podcast as well. Head to Spotify and follow the show. All right, we've had a lot to say about the state budget, a lot of it about what's in it. A lot about what's not in it. You heard from Corrine Hendrickson in our last half hour that what's not in it is enough child care relief to keep her in business and probably a lot of other folks as well. There's something else not in the budget that caught a lot of people off guard, and that was help for homeless veterans. Seems like rather a slam dunk for Republican lawmakers who are all the time wrapping themselves in the flag, but took Governor Evers' request and turned it to $0 and never did anything else about it. Did they forget? Was it just out of partisan spite? Can this be fixed? Let's find out by checking in with State Senator Jeff Smith from the Eau Claire County town of Brunswick, where he joins us now. Senator Smith, good morning. How are you?
Thank you, Senator Kreitlow. It's good to see you today.
I love the fact that now that you're in the Senate instead of the Assembly, that you use the courtesy titles because you understand senitude. You know,
well, it's really actually very rare. But for you, I know how important it is.
Yeah, so very important. It's more important for me to be a captain of the pontoon than it is any other title here. Jeff, I don't know how to start on this because I can ask you all the background about how this got missed from the budget. But maybe we'd better start with explaining what it is that we're talking about here. What is the program or what was the program, you know, that was helping homeless veterans?
So it's the Veterans Housing and Recovery Program. I got a couple things here just to read that what their goal is to help veterans achieve stability, increase their skill levels and or income, and obtain greater self-determination to reintegrate back to the community. As we know, when veterans struggle with whatever they've been through, whether it be overseas or in battle or whatever, fatigue, we owe them whatever we can to help them reintegrate back into society and have a comfortable life just like anyone else.
And so what had the governor proposed? What had been going on, you know, up until this state budget?
Right. So we have three facilities in the state right now. I believe one is Mount Horeb. The others are Green Bay and Chippewa Falls. And in Chippewa Falls, actually, the facility actually is the largest they have 70% of the population of those three facilities are in Chippewa Falls. And that and Green Bay are the ones that will be closing because of the lack of oversight by the Republican Joint Finance Committee.
So the governor proposed how much to put in the state budget for this?
He proposed $1.9 million to be in the budget to keep those facilities going at full speed, and they zeroed that out like they did so many things. And I don't want to I don't want to be too harsh. Maybe they overlooked it. Maybe they didn't realize when they were just zeroing everything out that was going too. But we gave them an opportunity on the floor. I introduced an amendment on the floor to bring that amount back. But I still think that they were in this giddy, well, we're we're doing this to the governor and we're taking everything out. And they weren't really listening. I guess, I don't know. They totally just missed that one.
But there was like one Republican senator who voted for your amendment to fund the homeless veterans.
And that's right. That's Andre Jacques, because it affected his district as well in Green Bay.
Okay. But every other Republican voted against it.
That's right.
And if there was, the reason I come at it like this is that, look, this is out of spite and for no other reason. This is why they zero out the things that Governor Evers proposes. And then they have come back in and either put a lower amount in, or they've reconfigured things. Like the child care funding is a classic example. They just did not want to put anything into child care counts because that was Governor Evers' baby. So they and the governor eventually agreed on some other funding mechanism, and they put the funding in there. It wouldn't seem like this needed that. So, it was either an oversight or it was just, I mean, they just blatantly did not feel like these homeless veterans deserved care anymore. Have you heard any kind of feedback firsthand, secondhand from your Republican colleagues? Or is this a big old oops and they're going to rush to support some kind of a trailer bill with funding?
Yeah, it's actually kind of pathetic. We have heard from our colleagues on the other side of the aisle that claiming that, well, you know, there was a 15% increase to the DVA, the Department of Veterans. And, you know, that was their 15% increase for the agency as a whole. That was not for that program, but that's what they're using as well. We increased by 15%. And then one of the talking points that I heard was this was just part of a wish list by the governor. I think that is so pathetic and so embarrassing that they would consider what we want to do to help veterans as a wish list.
Well, and especially here's the thing that gives it away that's not true. When they say, oh, we put 15% overall on the budget. The record is clear that they live to micromanage, and they will get right down into the line items and say, you can do this, but you can't do that. We've seen it in the literacy programs and in so many other things. And it sure sounds rather convenient that they can say, well, in this instance, we actually didn't want to micromanage. We just gave you a big pile of money and you do whatever you want with it. Said no Republican ever in the budget process until this got caught.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, it's excuses, making excuses, which I think is which is dumb, because in a sense they're saying, oh yeah, we knew about it, but we thought this 15% was going to cover it. That's basically what they're saying, instead of saying, oops, that $1.9 million was overshadowed by the negotiations that took place with our Senate leader, Dianne Hesselbein, and the governor's office, that brought back funding for our universities, brought back half the money we needed for our child care facilities, and brought back, or actually raised, the special education funding, which was desperately needed for our public schools. We didn't get everything we wanted, but we got that. But that all overshadowed $1.9 million that they seem to want to ignore now.
And make excuses for, it seems. So you've alluded to this, the fact that they needed Democratic votes to pass a budget. And so there was this agreement made, but as no doubt you are hearing, well, you heard from the very beginning, some of your colleagues, you know, voted no, saying, look, there's not enough there. And now, of course, we're hearing pushback from the childcare sector, from the education sector, from everything else. Now that you've looked at it all and you've taken in all of the reaction, looking at your minority status and what the governor is dealing with Republican leadership in the legislature, was this the best that could be hoped for when you have a bipartisan vote on a budget?
This was the best we could hope for. Just think about this. They came to us finally, kind of in the 11th hour, as we know, because with the Trump bill looming overhead that he was going to sign and remove any chance for us to capture $1 billion more in Medicaid funding. We were in a bind that which they put us in, the Republicans put us in, certainly, but with the chance to come to the table, because this is what I need to imagine. And I know, Pat, you can, that they were going to make it even worse to satisfy the worst of their caucus. There were five members of their caucus, which they often call the terrorists, were holding them hostage and saying they wanted even more cuts. They were going to cut $87 million from the university system already, which would have closed campuses. That was already in the works of closing campuses if that happened. They zeroed out childcare. They were not going to increase special ed funding for public schools, even though they were paying 90% to voucher schools. All of those are the biggies that we came to the table with, along with more. We asked for more than that, but there was negotiations, as you know, and compromise in politics these days is rare. But it happened, and we got that compromise, and the deal was if we can get certain things and make this better instead of worse, we can find five votes in our Senate caucus and help you pass this bill. We made that arrangement, and the leader, Diane Hesselbein, and myself, assistant leader, were two of the five votes, and then we had to find three more. And I feel very confident that it was the right thing to do, because it would have been much, much worse if they would have had to go the other route and make it get all their Republican votes.
Coming back to the micromanaging that Republicans were doing in the last budget, it included $15 million to help the Chippewa Valley after two hospitals and several clinics closed abruptly, and yet the Joint Finance Committee refused to release the money, having a temper tantrum about some of Governor Evers' line item vetoes. Was that $15 million put into this new budget, or is it now gone forever?
That is like a puff of smoke, Pat. It's just gone. They refused. I was another amendment on the floor that I introduced I even lowered it to $10 million. I said, on the floor said, hey, I'm trying to negotiate right here on the floor with you, but we've got to have some help. And they just weren't interested. Every Republican chose not to support that.
State Senator Jeff Smith is with us from the Eau Claire County town of Brunswick. So with the state budget behind us, obviously, there's still a fall session. There'll be some in the spring as well next year before everybody goes back to campaign. What kind of priorities do you have when the legislature gets back in action?
Well, right now, the Klein Hall and the Green Bay facility have taken a high level of priority, because they will close at the end of September, apparently, if we don't get the funding. So I've introduced a bill as of yesterday to bring that money back and give us another chance to do this, to do the right thing. So hopefully that'll be pushed through fast. We're right now in the process of gathering sponsorships, and hopefully we get sponsorships on both sides of the aisle. So that is an immediate urgent issue right now. And we'll come back and hopefully be able to do something right away on that. Otherwise it's back to trying to make sure that we support our Chippewa Valley hospitals and medical facilities here. And also because of what happened in Washington, we're going to have real threats of other rural hospitals closing across the state. Now, as we warned after the Chippewa Valley crisis, that could happen. And so we all got to pull together on both sides of the aisle, all across the state, to ensure that people are able to access health care.
State Senator Jeff Smith from the Eau Claire town of Brunswick. Thank you, Jeff. Good to talk to you as always.
Thanks,
have a great day,
Pat.
Out there. All
have
right.
A good one.
Yep. We'll catch you later. One quick note on our website, upnorthnewswi.com. A lot of new feature stories get put up there. One I want to tell you about, 10 Wisconsin breweries making a difference. Little breweries that start their own grant programs, host fundraising events. They place an emphasis on sustainability, reduce their carbon footprints, even giving to groups that help abandon pets and animal sanctuaries. Imagine drinking beer to do good works. 10 breweries that make a difference. Look for that on our website, upnorthnewswi.com. A local update next for some of you. The rest come back here live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
There's a quote about the importance of setting goals. If you don't know where you're going, any path will take you there. This holds true for things that are important to you financially as well. To set your financial goals, think about your priorities. Outline them as either must-haves, such as a comfortable retirement, or wish list, perhaps a vacation or entertainment. You'll want your goals to be specific. Assign estimate dates and cost to each one so you can plan how much to save and how much time you will have before you need the money. Next, hold yourself accountable to stay on track. This involves actively tracking your progress, maintaining your focus, and using these time-tested strategies. Diversify, own quality investments, and keep a realistic perspective. A financial advisor can help with this. Finally, enjoy that sense of accomplishment when you reach your goals, seeing your efforts literally pay off.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
When it comes to heating and cooling homes in central Wisconsin, make the call to the Bullpen for Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, a proud partner of your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. For more than 25 years, the Bryant experts have done whatever it takes to keep homeowners like you comfortable, from simple repairs and services to complete HVAC replacements and beyond. So no matter what you need, you'll know that their team has your back.
Need HVAC service now? Schedule yours by visiting comfortair.biz. That's comfort, AIRE.biz.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. We're all seeing the smoke, but what exactly is causing all the fires in Canada? Turns out the 5,000-year-old forest stretching across the country doesn't get as much snow cover in the spring as it used to, and is experiencing warmer, drier summers because of climate change, making wildfire season much more severe. Canada's boreal forest is the largest intact forest in the world. If you're in the market for new insulation, energy-efficient appliances, heating and cooling upgrades, now is definitely the time. The new mega budget signed into law earlier this month means federal incentives to help families save energy are about to go away. But Wisconsin's program still has federal funding available. Head to focusonenergy.com and click on IRA home energy rebates for more. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Battery, Wyatt's Battery, and the 1st Alabama Cavalry and 1st Alabama Field Hospital all going to be involved with this as well, Bill.
So far, all of those units are going to be involved, except we had one cancellation. Wyatt's Battery could not make it.
Good to know. Good to know.
What will be kind of interesting, too, James, for the public is that we'll have a Civil War era interpretation of a surgeon and his tools, you know, like a field hospital and all that sort of thing. So I think it'll be kind of interesting to see what kind of tools they use. You know, fairly, I would say, primitive by today's standards, but still probably the state of the art at the time.
You know, and it's interesting to have Bill on here because, you know, most of the time when you and I get together, Mike, and we're talking about this, Door Point Boston, we're talking about it. It's very similar to a conversation I have with Phil Brown over at the historical Southwick County Historical Museum. And there's some differences, of course, but one of the things that Phil likes to touch on whenever they have events over there or, you know, different things that they bring over that are a little more touchable or a little more movable, the Historic Point Boston is a living, breathing museum. It's really an opportunity for you to be able to see and experience things all year long, mind you, and your feeling and your experiencing of your ancestors, of all of our ancestors in one way or another. And I find that to be so vital in teaching history to the younger generations.
Sure. Bill, would you want to mention about the different artifacts and things from Southwood County Historical and from your collection you're going to bring over for the people to see in the Wakely House?
Yeah, most of what is in the Southwood County Historical Museum's military archives is actually post-war. In the sense, we had a very active Civil War veterans group located right in Wisconsin Rapids called the Grand Army of the Republic. Their building does not exist anymore. In fact, it's parking lot for the meet-in now. But what we do have is a few artifacts left from that GAR post, like a flag, all their records, their ribbons. That is going to be on display there. We got a sword coming from that belonged to a soldier in the 1st Wisconsin Cavalry in the museum. That will be on display. A photograph of a New York soldier, and his name escapes my mind at the moment, but he moved to Rapids post-war. He was a prisoner of war at Andersonville, and we have some trench art pieces that he made, like a photo frame of himself while he was a prisoner of war at Andersonville. And from my own collection, I got a piece that it's actually a book from the reunion of the 12th Wisconsin Infantry. And this was the same unit that the Wakely brothers belonged to, Otis and Newbold. And in this reunion book dated 1902, it lists Newbold Wakely attending the 1902 12th Wisconsin reunion in Wisconsin.
Wow. Wow, is that cool.
Uh-huh.
And, that's pretty
and I
amazing.
Also have some GAR ribbons that are from Adams County that I'm going to be putting on display there as well.
That's amazing. Now, we'll get into some more of the details and different things that you can look forward to about the event and price and some of those things. I would like to just take a minute with both of you, if we could, to talk a little bit about the purpose of this event and the meaning of it and everything. And I will say right out the gate, just going back to our pregame, Mike, and the conversation you and I were having, certainly everybody knows the phrase, if you don't learn history, you're doomed to repeat it. I think that goes without saying, hopefully, but if it doesn't, it needs to be said. But there is also the side of this of perspective, I think, that they can give us very often. Regardless of your feelings, your political sides, any of these things or anything like that, this history is our history, whether you're from the South or the North, whether you had an ancestor that fought in the Civil War or you're a family like mine that immigrated this country afterwards or something like that. This is our history. And there is not only a pride that can come from it, but a perspective that can only be brought from history. There's nothing else that can give this kind of perspective and us giving us an idea, whether we're talking about our soldiers in war or soldiers that could be in war and the thing, the advantages and the positives that they have that our previous soldiers didn't, or the times that we're in. And sometimes we get so caught up in the daily news and how heavy things can be and stuff. And I think if you look back in history and look at this time and you're like, okay, yeah, we can handle this. Right. Yeah, we've handled worse. Oh, we've been through things like this before. Our country is a teenager compared to other countries in the world, but our history is that of a grown man in many ways.
Yeah, we have to, like you were talking, James, and I applaud that, we have to own our history and recognize it. This is our history. It was a certain time in our history when things were probably at its grayest point, you know, since the revolution, and we have to own that, and a lot of times we try to forget about those things or gloss over them, and you can even see that in some of our history books nowadays. You know, they kind of take a different perspective and everything, but this is just to own this and recognize this and to really celebrate it for what it was.
Yeah. And I'd like to think, too, for those of us in the North, that this gives us an opportunity, too, to have some empathy and some understanding with our brothers and sisters in the South. I don't like the divide that exists in our country sometimes, and I love seeing connections and things that bring us together more than separate us. And I really, truly think events like this bring us more together. They are a shared history. And I think that goes a lot farther than we really realize sometimes. And this is a really cool and interesting event, too. How often do you see something like that? You don't get to see these kind of things, especially it's getting less and less. Mike, you were touching on this before about how many of these events go on anymore.
Yeah, I think, Bill, what were you saying? I think when we talked about it, maybe 10 or 12 events 15 or 20 years ago, down now to about 4 events in the state of Wisconsin, counting ours?
There's about 5 events in the state of Wisconsin. None of them are in central Wisconsin. There's one, in fact, there's one this weekend. It's in Menominee Falls, right outside of Milwaukee.
You are listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Senate passed a bill early today that would cut $9 billion in funding for foreign aid and public broadcasting. NPR CEO Catherine Maher.
This could fundamentally alter public radio as a national service in this country, and that would be a tremendous tragedy.
The measure returns to the House now. CBS News confirms the Trump administration has fired former FBI Director James Comey's daughter Maureen, a prosecutor in the Jeffrey Epstein case. Loyola Law's Lori Levinson.
By firing her, that actually might rile up more questions about what she did and what they found during that case.
Heavy rain and flash flooding expected along the Gulf Coast today. CBS meteorologist David Parkinson.
All of that Gulf moisture is going to find its way onto land. And so, unfortunately, there is the risk for flooding, especially tomorrow, but could see it today, particularly in Louisiana.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah.